All right, we are continuing and hopefully finishing chapter 36 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. Okay, so since some of us were sleeping when we finished last night.
I listened to the rest of it today.
Did you really? Okay. So you remember what happened? Okay, so Dumbledore is... Crouch has just... Or rather, Fudge has just left the room. And Dumbledore is talking to the people. "There's work to be done," he said. "Molly, am I right in thinking I can count on you and Arthur?" "Of course you can," said Mrs. Weasley. She was white to the lips, but she looked resolute. "We know what Fudge is. It's Arthur's fondness for muggles that has held him back at the ministry all those years. Fudge thinks he lacks proper wizarding pride." "Then I need to send a message to Arthur," said Dumbledore. "All those we can persuade of the truth must be notified immediately. And he's well placed to contact those at the ministry who are not as short-sighted as Cornelius." "I'll go to Dad," said Bill, standing up. "I'll go now." "Excellent," said Dumbledore. "Tell him what has happened. Tell him I will be in direct contact with him shortly. He needs to be discreet, however. If Fudge thinks I'm interfering at the ministry..." "Leave it to me," said Bill.
"No, Bill's cool, remember?"
"Oh, he's the guy with the earring, isn't he?" Alright. "Leave it to me," said Bill.
"No, he's not like that."
"Leave it to me."
"No, he's not a coke addict."
"You don't like the little raspiness?" Alright. "Leave it to me, man," said Bill.
"No, stop it."
Okay. "Leave it to me."
"That's a stoner. He's not a stoner, he works for a bank. He works for Gringotts."
"Wait, he works for..." I thought he was the dragon guy.
"No, that's Charlie. Bill's the cool guy who works for Gringotts and is a treasure hunter."
"Oh.
Pretend that you're cool. How would you sound?"
"Yeah, I would say, leave it to me."
"No, you wouldn't."
"No, I would be like, leave it to me." Alright, anyways. "Leave it to me," said Bill. He
"no,
clapped a hand."
"No, do it for real. Do it like this."
"Alright.
Leave it to me."
"Leave it to me."
"Good job,"
said Bill. He clapped a hand on Harry's shoulder, kissed his mother on the cheek, pulled on his cloak, and strode quickly from the room. "Minerva," said Dumbledore, turning to Professor McGonagall, "I want to see Hagrid in my office as soon as possible. Also, if she will consent to come, Madame Maxime." Professor McGonagall nodded and left without a word. "Poppy," Dumbledore said to Madame Pomfrey, "would you be so kind as to go downstairs to Professor Moody's office, where I think you will find a house elf called Winky in considerable distress. Do what you can for her and take her back to the kitchens. I think Dobby will look after her for us." "Very, very well," said Madame Pomfrey, looking startled, and she, too, left. Dumbledore made sure that the door was closed and that Madame Pomfrey's footsteps had died away before he spoke again. "And now," he said, "it is time for two of our number to recognize each other for what they are. Sirius, if you could resume your usual form." The great black dog looked up at Dumbledore and then, in an instant, turned back into a man. Mrs. Weasley screamed and leapt back from the bed. "Sirius Black!" she shrieked, pointing at him. "Mum, shut up," Ron yelled. "It's okay." Snape had not yelled or jumped backward, but the look on his face was one of mingled fury and horror. "Him!" he snarled, staring at Sirius, whose face showed equal dislike. "What is he doing here?" "He is here at my invitation," said Dumbledore, looking between them. "As are you, Severus. I trust you both. It is time for us to lay aside your old differences and trust each other." Harry thought Dumbledore was asking for a near miracle. Sirius and Snape were eyeing each other in the utmost loathing. "I will settle in the short term," said Dumbledore with a bite of impatience in his voice, "for a lack of open hostility. You will shake hands. You are on the same side now. Time is short, and unless the few of us who know the truth stand united, there is no hope for any of us." Very slowly, but still glaring at each other as though each wished the other nothing but ill, Sirius and Snape moved toward each other and shook hands. They let go extremely quickly. "That will do to be going on with," said Dumbledore, stepping between them once more. "Now I have work for each of you." Fudge's attitude, though not unexpected, changes everything. "Sirius, I need you to set off at once. You are to alert Remus Lupin, Arabella Figg, Mundungus Fletcher, the old crowd. Lie low at Lupin's for a while. I will contact you there." "But," said Harry. He wanted Sirius to stay. He did not want to have to say goodbye again so quickly. "You'll see me again very soon, Harry," said Sirius, turning to him. "I promise you. But I must do what I can, you understand, don't you?" "Yeah," said Harry. "Yeah, of course I do." Sirius grasped his hand briefly, nodded to Dumbledore, transformed again into the black dog, and ran the length of the room to the door, whose handle he turned with a paw. Then he was gone. "Severus," said Dumbledore, turning to Snape, "you know what I must ask you to do, if you are ready, if you are prepared." "I am," said Snape. He looked paler than usual, and his cold black eyes glittered strangely. "Then good luck," said Dumbledore, and he watched, with a trace of apprehension on his face, as Snape went wordlessly after Sirius. It was several minutes before Dumbledore spoke again. "I must go downstairs," he said finally. "I must see the Diggories. Harry, take the rest of your potion. I will see all of you later." Harry slumped back against his pillows as Dumbledore disappeared. Hermione, Ron, and Mrs. Weasley were all looking at him. None of them spoke for a very long time. "You've got to take the rest of your potion, Harry," said Mrs. Weasley at last. Her hand nudged the sack of gold on his bedside cabinet as she reached for the bottle and the goblet. "You have a good long sleep. Try to think about something else for a while. Think about what you're going to buy with your winnings." It's weird because Harry's, like, a millionaire, right? So, like, what's an extra 1,000 galleons?
Well, what did his parents do?
Supposedly his parents were rich.
But how were they rich?
I think his dad's family had old money, because his dad's family was like a, you know, a famous wizarding family.
They were?
Weren't they? The Potters, right? They go way back.
They do?
Yeah, they were a pureblood family. That's one of the reasons that they were all mad at him for marrying Lily.
They were?
Yeah, because she was
I didn't know they were mad at her. They weren't mad at her. No, they weren't, because remember, Sirius used to go over to James' house, and his parents used to take care of Sirius. Because Sirius's parents were really bad.
Right, right.
So, James' parents died.
Yeah, but I think they were rich. I mean, I think the Potters were just wealthy.
Oh. You should find that out.
I guess. We could look it up. Anyways, "I don't want that gold," said Harry in an expressionless voice. "You should have it. Anyone should have it. I shouldn't have won it. It should have been Cedric's." The thing against which he had been fighting on and off ever since he had come out of the maze was threatening to overpower him. He could feel a burning, prickling feeling in the inner corners of his eyes. He blinked and stared up at the ceiling. "It wasn't your fault, Harry," Mrs. Weasley whispered. "I told him to take the cup with me," said Harry. Now the burning feeling was in his throat, too. He wished Ron would look away. Mrs. Weasley set the potion down on the bedside cabinet, bent over, and poured her arms around Harry. He had no memory of ever being hugged like this, as though by a mother. The full weight of everything he had seen that night seemed to fall in upon him as Mrs. Weasley held him to her. His mother's face, his father's voice, the sight of Cedric dead on the ground all started spinning in his head, until he could hardly bear it, until he was screwing up his face against the howl of misery fighting to get out of him. There was a loud slamming noise, and Mrs. Weasley and Harry broke apart. Hermione was standing by the window. She was holding something tight in her hand. "Sorry," she whispered. "Your potion, Harry," said Mrs. Weasley quickly, wiping her eyes on the back of her hand. Harry drank it in one gulp. The effect was instantaneous. Heavy, irresistible waves of dreamless sleep broke over him. He fell back onto his pillows and thought no more. And that's the end of chapter 36. You okay, Kitty?
Yeah, I'm looking up how to
read it. Oh, you weren't even paying attention. Anyways, that's the end of chapter 36. And I hope you like that. And when you're listening to this later, I hope you sleep really well. Love you, Kitty.